enjoyed the singing this morning. Appreciate the Easter singing for us. Appreciate the songs that they sang. Enjoyed the congregational singing. Enjoyed the Sunday school hour this morning as well. Sure pray the Lord to help us now in the service. Ephesians chapter 2, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. We'll concentrate just on two verses this morning, verses 8 and 9. But I want to read from verse number 1. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, verse number 1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Can I just say that if you have not been born again, you are still dead in your trespasses and sins. But I'm glad the Lord's in the quickening business. And that simply means to be made alive. And I'm glad the Lord has made us alive in Christ Jesus. And I believe the word means to be alive, to never die again. What a blessing that God doesn't give partial life. He gives eternal life. Amen. And we're thankful for that. So verse number 1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespass and sins." Verse number 2, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." You see, if you've been made alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is very apparent from the Bible that there are some things that will change. And it talks about before you were quickened, when you were dead in your trespass and sin, you walked along the same way that the world walks, involving yourselves in everything that the world does, living just like the world, no different from the world. In verse number 3, your lifestyle, the lust of your flesh, fulfilling the desires of your flesh and of your mind, living just ungodly and wicked, just like the world lives. Verse number 4 says, "But God." Boy, I'm going to tell you something, when God comes on the scene, things change. And so the Bible says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together." You're no longer in that sinking sin of depravity. You've been raised up together with the Lord and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What a blessing. "That in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Bible, for an opportunity to be in church on this beautiful Sunday morning that you've given us. Thank you for folks who have made their way out to be with us in church today. Thank you for the singing. Thank you for the fellowship. Thank you for the good number of folks that are here. I pray you would help us, use us to be a help and a blessing. And we'll certainly thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, since the beginning of time, mankind has been seeking redemption from the guilt of his sin. I promise you that regardless of how much or how little you know about the gospel, about the Lord, you know something about the guilt of sin. And so man has been trying to do something, seeking redemption. In fact, mankind has only sought redemption one of two ways ever, and that is either by works or by faith. And we're living in a time, it's nothing new. It has gone on since Cain and Abel, and it continues today. Man seeks his own way of redemption. And in fact, the very first two humans that were born, not the first two humans, the first two that were born on this earth, Cain and Abel, they came before the presence of God, and they came there to offer sacrifice for their sin. And Cain offered the works of his hands, and that was rejected. And Abel offered the blood of those sacrifices as innocent blood of those sacrifices, and his sacrifice was accepted. And so it has always been that way. Man either tries to work himself to God or get himself to God, or he believes in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and that's the only sacrifice that God accepts. And so Cain approached God on the basis of his works. Abel approached God on the basis of his faith. Both of these men approached God because they were drawn to Him because of some need they seen in their own heart. I'm thankful for the Spirit of God that will reveal to you and I our lost condition, our need of a Savior, our need of redemption. And then what you do with that, it depends on where you're going to spend eternity. And so humanity, in our lives, there's a great void. You can try to fill that void with activities. You can try to fill that void with religion. You can try to fill it with all kinds of personal gain or wealth or relationships or whatever the case may be, any number of 100,000 different things. You can try to fill it with sex or drugs or alcohol or works of the flesh. You can try to fill that void with religion and church membership and baptism and good deed, all of those things. But none of those things, they may make you feel better, but none of those things will fill the void that is in your heart until you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And so this world that we live in, humanity is, it is littered with sin and religion. And both of these efforts that people have, they're trying to fill the emptiness within their hearts with something that they can produce. And so the problem with living a life of sin is that it always ends in death and hell and eternal separation from God. Now, a lot of people are religious, but I'll tell you this, the problem with human religion and good works is that it always ends in death and hell and separation from God. There ain't but one way. There ain't but one way to God, and that's driven by His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You try to get there any other way, the Bible says you are the same as a thief and a robber. Sure, regardless of how sinful your life is or how religious your life is, there's only one way to Jesus Christ, and there's only one way to heaven. There's not many. I know we're living in a world and we're living in a time when people have all of these ideas and all of these religions and all of these different ways and many gods and many ways to God, and you can live any way and you can do anything. Friend, you don't get that from the Bible. And so there has to be a standard. And I'm glad that God has given us His standard. And so you can go by what God's Word says, or you can go by what you feel in your heart, or you can go by what man says. And if you go any way other than God's way, you're in trouble, amen. And so we gotta have the Lord. We gotta have Jesus Christ. He is the only hope of salvation. Now, there are several truths here, just in two verses that we want to look at this morning. And I hope the Lord will speak to your heart through these verses of Scripture. You say, well, preacher, I'm saved. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you are. Maybe you can get something today, glean something today that you can use to share with someone else concerning their need of a Savior. And so what we have here is these verses, they are a summary of all that Paul has said about salvation up to this point. Obviously, we can't go through the Pauline epistles, talk about everything that he said about salvation. But I'll tell you this, these verses represent the Lord's ultimate statement regarding the way of salvation. These verses tell us how to be saved, and they tell us what will not save you, what will not save your soul. Works won't do it, amen. I promise you that. And so Paul takes both the positive and the negative side of the way of salvation. And so we're going to consider just a few things in these verses this morning. First of all, we see the negative side of salvation. Look at verse number 9. I'll read verse number 8. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Now, what I want to look at first of all is this first part of verse number 9. Not of works. Now, these works has to do with anything that you are trying to do in and of yourself to earn or to acquire salvation. Works has to do with anything that you are relying on or trusting in to get yourself to heaven other than by placing your faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It could be church membership. It could be involved in doing good deeds or good works. It could be water baptism. It could be signing your name on a church roll. It could be any number of a long list of things. But the truth of the matter is, works will not, cannot, never has been, never will be able to save you. And so Paul said, not of works, lest any man should boast. So religion is not going to work. Works and deeds are not going to work. Paul is telling us that no one will ever be saved by any works that they perform, regardless of how holy those works are, or regardless of how religious those works are, or regardless of how satisfying those works are to your flesh, or regardless of how many pats on the back you get from others because of those works. Those good works are not the way to heaven. Jesus is. And so he said, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so we have this man. He's depraved, amen. And so if man could work his way to God, if man could work his way to heaven, then when he got there, he would boast about it. And the Lord is certainly not going to allow any of that in heaven, because anybody and everybody that gets there came there through him, amen, and not by any works of their own. And so it's all about work. So man has developed thousands and thousands of competing religions to rely on good works and self-sacrifice and self-righteousness to save the parishioners of that religion. But none of those things are going to work. I was reading some of these things. The ancient Canaanites, they offered their children to Molech. They thought that that was a work that was going to get them to heaven. Those ancient Phoenicians, they sacrificed their sexual purity to the gods of Baal and the goddess Ashtaroth. And those Hindus, they worship cows and monkeys and snakes. And even now there is mothers in the jungles of Africa that will give their babies to crocodiles. And all of those Native Americans that worship nature. All of this is in a desire to appease the void that's in their heart and have some kind of conscience in their mind and some kind of comfort in their life that they could get to heaven some other way. And Jesus has made it so simple and so plain and so easy that many men reject the simplicity of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're doing everything that they can, and everything that they're doing is worthless, because Jesus said, I am the way, amen, and I am the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. Right after Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, the very first thing that they did is they made those coverings of those fig leaves, and they tried to cover their nakedness. They tried to come up with their own religion to appease the God that they had sinned against, and the God that they had defied, and they had tried to, in their own hands and their own works, cover their sin. But God had to slay an innocent lamb, and the blood of that sacrifice is what it took to cover their sin. And the blood, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the only acceptable offering to cover your sin and my sin today. Amen. And so, it is not of works. It will never work. Amen. And so, then there's the boasting that we may mention up. But hold your place here and come to Romans for just a moment. No matter how much you try to change your life, you can never erase your sin and your guilt before God. Excuse me. This pollen is loving my allergies. Did that even make sense? I know this. The pollen and my allergies are not working together for my benefit. Amen. Look what the Bible says here in Romans chapter 3. Works is not the answer, grace is. Look at Romans 3, look at verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So look, there's no redemption in our works. And the Bible makes it very clear here, we're justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, let me read the rest of these verses. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of our sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which worketh in, no, him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. I love this verse. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So praise the Lord, salvation is not of works. So we see the negative side. Now, the positive side, look at the verse. Come back to Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not by works. It's through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, if salvation does not result from being religious, from being a good person, from doing good things, where does salvation come from? Paul tells us it comes through faith. And so we talk about what works were or what works were not. What is faith? Faith is trusting. Faith is relying upon what the Bible says concerning the sacrifice of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. I have total confidence in what God says and what this Bible says concerning our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the sacrifice that He made for us, and the realization that that's the only way to heaven. There's not many. It's a narrow road, amen. You say, well, preacher, aren't you pretty narrow-minded? There's people all over the world that they've not heard the gospel, they don't have a Bible, they don't have the opportunity that you have, and this and that and the other. I'm going to tell you, I am extremely narrow-minded. There is only one way, and that is by grace, through faith, in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's pretty exclusive, amen. And I'm glad it's that way, because if it was multiple choice, I would make the wrong choice. But there's only one choice, and that's Jesus, amen. And so faith refers to a conviction of the truth of something. It is belief. It is saving faith is simply coming to the place where one believes with absolute conviction that everything the Bible says about Jesus is true. And it is, amen. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That faith is increased when we hear the preaching and the teaching of God's Word, when we read the Bible, that faith is increased and encouraged. I'm glad the Holy Spirit of God will convict your heart of your need of a Savior, and that same Holy Spirit will point you to the Savior, and it will never be good works or religion. It'll always be to Jesus, amen. It's that rotten flesh of yours that wants to choose something other than Jesus. So salvation is not the result of doing anything. It's the result of a lost sinner simply taking God at His Word and believing that and receiving that. And what a blessing, amen. Look, let me show you. Come to Romans chapter 10. These are all verses that you know. These are all verses that you can quote. But why should we skip them because of that? Romans chapter 10. Look at verse number 9. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then you talk to people and they say, well, but, you don't well but that, you just believe it, amen. Look at John chapter 3. Here's a verse that probably the most well-known verse in all the world, John 3:16. Jesus speaking, He says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Can I read one more? Come to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. This Philippian jailer had asked Paul and Silas, what must we do to be saved? Notice this clear, simple answer in Acts 16, verse 31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Ain't that a blessing? So salvation is by faith. The Bible is crystal clear on this matter. The way of salvation is simply taking God at His Word and believing the gospel. You say, well, preacher, what is the gospel? Well, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 for just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verses 3 and 4. The Bible says here, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. That's the gospel, amen. And if we believe that Christ died, first of all, you gotta understand you're a sinner. You'll never get saved until you understand you're lost. People have been deceived into believing that they're saved, and they're going to split hell wide open, having never received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I'll tell you, when you get born again, you'll know it. Amen. I'm not saying you won't ever doubt it, but you'll know it. There's no way you cannot know the life change that Christ gives you when you get saved. All things are made new. I mean, you don't learn everything all at one time. I understand that. There's a growing period. You're a newborn creature in Christ Jesus. You start out as a babe. You have to grow. I get all of that. But I knew immediately that my eyes were opened. I knew immediately that something had transformed my life. I mean, I don't know how to explain it, and I don't want to go into any kind of personal experience or details, because your personal experience may have been different. But I know this: the burden of sin was lifted from me, and things were that I had never saw or thought about. It was just life transformed. It was transformed. I haven't always been what I should be. I haven't always done what I ought to do, but I have always had confidence in the fact that the Lord saved me when I asked Him to. Even though Satan tried his best to get me to doubt that, but through false teaching and all that, I'm glad the Bible opened and enlightened my eyes to that truth as well. Amen. What a blessing. Now, the Bible says this in Romans chapter 4 and verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Speaking of Christ, He was delivered for our offenses. He was raised again for our justification. Now, there'll be some folks who will object, and they say, well, I can't believe in Jesus. Yeah, you can. You don't want to. Sin keeps you from wanting to believe in Jesus. You have faith in a whole lot of things that you can't see. You have faith in a whole lot of things that you don't know are going to happen. And I could give you some simple examples, and you say, well, preacher, those are simple examples. Well, but you have confidence in them. You sat down on that pew because you had confidence it was going to hold you up. You ate breakfast this morning being confident that food you ate wasn't poisoned. You're going to go leave here. You're going to get in your car having all confidence that it's going to start. It may not. I hope it does. You have faith in a lot of things you can't see. You can have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible, Jesus said, I like this. Look what Jesus said in John chapter 3. Come to John chapter 3 again. You put your money in the bank, trusting it's going to be there when you go back. I ain't getting no amens there. I got about as much confidence in that bank as I do. First of all, you got to have money to put in it. That's my problem, man. Now look, I read this verse just a moment ago. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17 says, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Verse 18 says, he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Now here's why you're condemned. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You know why people won't believe on Jesus? Their deeds are evil. They're already under condemnation. You're not going to be under condemnation. You're already under condemnation. And you love those, you love to live wickedly and ungodly, and so you refuse to place your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ because you love your ungodliness. Your deeds are evil. You ought to trust Jesus, amen. He'll save you from that mess. Amen. Salvation comes when the lost sinner simply takes God at His word and believes what the Bible says about Jesus Christ. You know what God said about Jesus Christ? He said He was born of a virgin. He said He's the sinless Son of God. He said He died on the cross to pay for the sins of the sinner. He says He rose again from the dead. He says He ascended back to heaven, and He's coming again to get His people, amen. And so, I just believe the Bible. You're never going to be, I think it's in Peter where it says we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God which liveth and abides forever. You're not saved apart from believing what the Bible says about Jesus Christ. So, I believe the Bible, amen. So, we see that the way of salvation is by grace through faith. And then, now, look at this. Now, Paul tells us as well, praise the Lord that we have the way of salvation. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But how about the wonder of salvation? It's the free gift of God. It is by grace, amen. And it is the gift of God. And there's no deal like this. A lot of you folks, probably the ladies more so than the men, you love a good deal. And I praise the Lord, my wife does. She's very frugal. And she always tries to find, you know, what's on sale and all this kind of stuff. And I appreciate that. Unfortunately, I don't always shop like that. And that's why I don't do much of the shopping. But you never get a deal like the Lord's got going. He paid the price. He paid it for you. And He's not requiring a lot from you. He's requiring your faith in what He said, amen. And the grace of God gives salvation. So we see the wonder of His grace. What a blessing. Now, there's a lot of things we can say for grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor upon man. There's nothing that we have done to deserve the grace of God. There's nothing that we'll ever do to deserve the grace of God. God is gracious towards us because He's a graceful God. And in His grace, He willingly gave His life as a sacrifice for all mankind. And what did we do to deserve that? We didn't do anything to deserve that. I'm just glad that He did, amen. And so there's a lot of examples of that in the Bible. People who didn't deserve anything but the wrath and the judgment of God. And yet God in His mercy reached out to them and His grace reached out to them. And He's done the same thing for you and I as well. Probably one of my favorite passages in the Bible, one of my favorite stories in the Bible is about Mephibosheth in 2 Samuel chapter 9. And in that passage, verses 1 through 13 of that passage, how Mephibosheth was a descendant of Saul. And just for Jonathan's sake, who was a friend of David, David had mercy on him. David had every right as the king to have him executed or executed himself. And yet he sent his servants down to fetch Mephibosheth down there in Lodabar in the house of depravity and wickedness. And he was crippled on his feet. He was worth anything to mankind, but he was worth something to David. You know, you and I, we ain't worth nothing to mankind. We're crippled. We're dead in our trespass and sin, but we're worth something to God. Amen. And so in His mercy and in His grace, He saw fit to give us an opportunity to be saved, to hear the gospel. He said, and all you got to do is believe it. It's pretty simple. Amen. And believing it will change your life. So David goes down. He sends those servants down. You know what God has done? He ascended back to heaven. He sent His comforter. The Holy Spirit is reproving man of sin and wickedness and unrighteousness even now. And He's drawing men unto the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. David sent those men down. They got Mephibosheth, brought him back to the king's house. And the king didn't put him out in a barn outside with the animals. No, he clothed him and set him at his own table, amen, and made him as his own son. You know what God did for you and I? The same thing. Amen. What a blessing. I probably deserve to be out in the barn, but God lets me sit at the table. Saul of Tarsus, religious man, going about killing folks, and killing Christians, and hauling men and women into prison. And the Lord spoke to him on that road to Damascus that day, came to him in a light, revealed Himself to him. And you're talking about grace. Here's a man that is killing people for believing in Jesus, hauling people to prison for placing their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord could have just struck him dead and been right in doing so. But He said, you know what? If He'll have me, I'll just save him. That's what He did for you and I. We ain't worth a nickel. But the Lord said, you know what? If He'll trust me, if He'll have me, I'll take Him. There's a lot of people that reject you in this world. The Lord won't. There's a lot of people who won't give you the time of day. The Lord will. There's a lot of people who don't want anything to do with you at all whatsoever. Jesus does. He bled and died and suffered so that you could have life. And not just have life, but so you could have life more abundantly. And not just life here, life eternal. Amen. I'm glad I'm not dead in my trespass and sin any longer. What a blessing. So, Every person in this world that knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior understands something about the wonderful grace of God. I don't think anyone can truly be born again and realize how unworthy and how undeserving and how hopelessly lost they were and how godless they were, and yet Jesus saved them. It's still a miracle to me. And yet He does, amen. And so we see the what a blessing it is that He would save us by His grace. Now, it's a gift. What a blessing. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. We've been told about the way of salvation. It's through faith. We've been told about the wonder of salvation. It's by grace. Then we're told that neither the grace nor the faith came from within us. The salvation is the gift of God. You know what? Salvation is a gift of God. That means that the grace of God is a gift to you. You haven't earned it. Even, you know, the Bible says that God has given every man a measure of faith. The faith that we have to believe the grace of God is able to save us came from? It came from God. So you can't sit there and tell me that there's no way that you can be saved or you can't believe. You can. You know how I know that? Because God doesn't lie. I'm glad salvation is by grace, through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Here, in this passage of Scripture, I read all these verses just a moment ago. In verse number 1, the sinner is dead. If you're dead, how can you get to God? What can a dead man do? Nothing. In verse number 2, the sinner is deceived by his sins. He lacks the desire to believe. In verse number 3, the sinner is depraved. He lacks the will to be saved. Also in verse number 3, the sinner is doomed. He's already been condemned and judged in his sins by God, who is rich in mercy. His grace made salvation available. He gave to every man a measure of faith, and if we will exercise that faith in the grace of God, He'll save us. I ain't got over it, friend. And I don't look to get over it. I don't want to get over it, amen. You say, preacher, you shouldn't be quite so animated. Maybe you need to get saved. I'm happy about it. This crowd that shout at a ball game won't shout at church. I worry about it. This crowd that will rejoice about the stock market going up but won't rejoice about sinners being saved, I worry about it. We got the only thing in the world we're shouting about. Amen. So I'm glad the Lord saves us. So the wonder of salvation is that God in His grace saves sinners by giving them the faith to believe in Jesus Christ. Listen, friends, salvation is a gift. You can't earn it. I want to tell you something. It's not a gift unless you receive it. I mean, the gift is available, but you have to take it. You can reject the gift. I read this before, and I read this again this week. I want to read it to you. It's an amazing story. In 1829, a Philadelphia man named George Wilson robbed the U.S. Postal Service, killing someone in the process. Wilson was arrested, brought to trial, found guilty, and sentenced to be hanged. Some friends of his intervened in his behalf and were finally able to obtain a pardon from him from President Andrew Jackson. But when he was informed of this, George Wilson refused to accept the pardon. The sheriff was unwilling to enact the sentence, for how could he hang a pardoned man? An appeal was sent to President Jackson. The perplexed president turned to the United States Supreme Court to decide the case. Chief Justice Marshall ruled that a pardon is a piece of paper, the value of which depends on the acceptance by the person indicated. It is hardly to be supposed that a person under the sentence of death would refuse to accept the pardon. But if it is refused, it is then not a pardon. George Wilson must be hanged. So George Wilson was executed, although his pardon lay on the sheriff's desk. Now listen, you're already dead in your trespass and sin, and God has given you a pardon. I'm holding it in my hand. But if you refuse the pardon that God has given you, you're going to die in your sins. You're going to spend eternity separated from God in a Christless lake of fire. where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And you say, well, I'm not George Wilson. Well, you know what I like about that? I've read the verse twice already. Jesus said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I still remember when Ted Collins got saved years ago. He came to the altar that Sunday morning, a weeping, broken man. And he said, preacher, I want to be saved, but you have no idea the kind of man I am, and the life that I've lived, and the Lord won't save me. I couldn't get my Bible, that verse of Scripture, fast enough. And I pointed to him, and I said, Ted, this says, for whosoever. You know what that means? I said, I don't think you'd be doing the Bible any injustice if I said, if Ted Collins shall call upon the name of the Lord, he shall be saved. What if your name is today? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God has a pardon for you. But you'll have to receive it in order to be saved. I get a piano player to come this morning and play. If you're here today and you're not saved, we'd love to take a Bible, spend some time with you, show you how you can trust Jesus as your Savior, how you can be saved. But that all should come to repentance. That includes you. That includes me.